Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Corey.
I'm Gary.
And we are in 1 Peter chapter 3. We are in the third study from verses 13 through 17 in 1 Peter chapter 3 about suffering for righteousness. And today, we're going to try to look at 15 and 16, which is a couple of verses that are very often taken out of context. We'll talk about that as we go through. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. So this is a verse, again, that verse 15 especially is yanked so far out of text. But don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. Well, how do you do that? He's going to tell us how to do it. Don't be afraid of those who persecute you or make you suffer for righteousness' sake, but instead he tells you how not to be afraid of them in verses 16 and 17.
Yeah, I think verse 15 starts to talk about more of the internal aspect of that. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. That's going to be kind of the core of what this is all about is, you know, if you're honoring Christ, if you're honoring the Lord as holy, then I think righteousness and pursuing good is a natural response to that. So this is, you know, where it starts to meet your emotions, that the heart and the center of your thinking is that you're honoring Christ and the Lord as holy, and being prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you in that way of, you know, the righteousness and all that you're pursuing.
Yeah, and it's funny because honoring him as Lord is what honoring him as holy is what the ESV has. Actually, the word there is a verb. It's not an adjective. So the ESV maybe doesn't translate in a way that helps us. But what he's saying is holify the Lord, honor him, sanctify him. Some translations say as Lord. And, you know, when we fear those who do us harm and it keeps us from doing what is right, what we're doing is we're allowing them to override or overrule who we claim is our Lord, who became our master. We've shown that, you know, we've shown where I'm more afraid of my neighbor than I am the Lord when I won't share with him the gospel because I'm afraid of what he might do in response.
That big a deal.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm more afraid of the Romans than I am the Lord if I'm not going to proclaim Christianity whenever. So, you know, again, we think of some of these terms that are used for Jesus and kind of gloss over it. He didn't use Jesus there. He used Christ because that means he's the anointed Messiah. He is the Lord. He is the King of Kings. And, you know, when we center our minds or thinking about Christ, and, you know, he spent a lot of that in chapter 1, 13, 15, 17, about that idea. When we focus on that, then we're not going to give in to Caesar. That Roman soldier just kicks in your door and says, you either honor Caesar or, you know, off with your head or your wife's head or your child's head. Well, we've holified, we've sanctified Jesus as Lord in our hearts. So as you said, it begins with how we think about him versus others, but then that's going to be shown in the way we react to all that.
Yeah. And him, I mean, he talks about being prepared to make a defense. You know, sometimes we go to that passage a lot to say, you know, we've got to know all the arguments and all the defenses for, you know, all the points of doctrine or whatever.
Be able to answer any question somebody asks.
Which is
in a Bible. I can't teach because they might ask a question. I don't know. If you've ever taught, you know that happens.
Yeah, that's a very unrealistic goal.
That's right.
To be like, you know, I've got to know every answer before I start teaching. Okay, well then,
you're never going to teach.
Never going to teach.
That's right.
And the teachers who are teaching should not be teaching.
That's right. You know? Only Jesus could have.
Yeah. So that's kind of an unrealistic goal. But he talks about making a defense. It's not that, you know, you're willing to debate every point of doctrine and be able to defend Scripture in that way, though that's a good thing to do. But the point here is that it's not about how well you can debate. It's about what your character displays. That your defense is the hope that is in you.
Yeah. Your defense, is I'm more afraid of him than I am you.
The defense of the hope that is in you is showing that you have hope in you, mm-hmm. That you're willing to name the name of Christ, that you're willing to suffer for righteousness' sake, that you're willing to pursue good no matter what other obstacles come against you. That when other people who are unbelievers, who, you know, are not pursuing faith at all, when they're wanting to run down the Lord, you're not willing to bow down and allow them to say, well, he must not be that big a deal because, you know, you'll stop naming him whenever the pressure gets on you.
Yeah, we usually use this verse as if, like, I see you're handling things differently than I do. Tell me about that. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about the people that are persecuting you, mm-hmm. when they see how, you know, kind of like the centurion. That's what happened with Jesus in his suffering. The centurion ultimately said, truly, this was the Son of God. Why did he say that?
Yeah.
He saw the way he was suffering. The man who was responsible for carrying out that suffering on Jesus saw something different. But why are you willing to suffer for your God? Well, I'm more afraid of him than I am you. You know, they're saying, all you got to do is just say you believe that Caesar's Lord, and then I won't have to do this to you. Help me help you.
Yeah,
I can't because I'm more afraid of him than I am you. And it'll give us gentleness towards them and respect towards them if we are fearing towards God, because, you know, we're not going to try to lack. Remember, we talked about in 1 Peter chapter 2, how did Jesus suffer? Well, we're supposed to suffer in the same way.
Yeah.
Now, we probably won't face persecution like they did, but, you know, we ought to do it in a loving and gentle and kind way, because ultimately our goal is not to win the argument, but to win a soul.
Yeah, and I think the last verse of the last part of verse 15 is the kind of the thing that gets forgotten, especially when it's quoted, is he says, yet do it with gentleness and respect. You know, that's kind of what also leads you to say, okay, it's not about just winning an argument, because we can sit here and debate, but the goal is not to win a debate. The goal is not to prove someone else wrong or whatever. The goal is to bring people to Christ, mm-hmm. and to show the hope that's in us. And I can do that without being oppressive, mm-hmm. and, you know, shoving it in your face. This is just, you know, the way that this is described is, this is the way that I'm going to live. And this is who I am as a person. This is my character, and this is my relationship with Christ. And if you'd like to know more about that, then please come talk to me. But
even if they don't ask for that,
yeah.
Verse 16, you're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And if they don't ask for what to do right, it says that they're going to be put to shame. So our conscience will be clean because we've done the right thing. But ultimately, they're going to be put to shame, mm-hmm. because they realize, hey, this guy really didn't deserve this.
Yeah. Which is kind of what, if you think about it, you talk about imitating Jesus in the same way he did. It's kind of the same thing Pilate did near the end of Jesus' trial and all that. Was kind of like, I don't know that, you know, surely Jesus, I'm not seeing where Jesus deserves to die. So let's put out Barabbas and, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully then that'll happen. And of course, we know the way that turned out. But, you know, that it's an example to show, if you just live in that way and you're gentle about it and you're respectful about it in the same way that Jesus was, then eventually there comes along people, maybe even like Pilate, that says, I don't know that this is right, you know, that, mm-hmm. that we're being fair about this, you know.
And there's actually examples in early Christian writings of it, you know, Roman soldiers that were responsible for, you know, crucifying and burning at the stake Christians, mm-hmm. and whatnot, who eventually became followers of Jesus because of the way that they suffered. You know, think about the way, mm-hmm. Jesus suffered. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we ought to really be feeling sorry for them. And And we ought to be worried more about why their conscience is so dull. But all of that starts with us being all in, and we have to have the right heart. And the reason we have to have the right heart, he's going to tell us in verse 17, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. But for today, we're glad that you've been with us as we have studied from 1 Peter 3, 15 and 16. Hope that you will like, share, you'll tell others about Scripture Spotlights. You'll leave comments. If you have questions, send those to us. But we hope most of all you'll just dedicate 5 to 10 minutes a day studying God's Word with us as we try to seek the message that is found in the text, because on Scripture Spotlight, the text is always the star of the show.